If you can open up to Matthew 11, that'd be great. This is our motto Sunday, and as you should have received also a card when you came into church this morning with the motto on it. And the motto is the passage of scripture that we're hopefully going to be making, that's going to be a hallmark of how we operate this year and where we hope to be as a church this year. Here in Bristol, a source of pride is the fact that this is the home of the Plimsoll line. The Plimsoll line. It's a line that you see on ships that show how deep it should be, or how deep in the water it should lie, or how high it should be, to stop ships getting overburdened, or to stop them being too top heavy so they fall over. And 150 years ago, Samuel Plimsoll, who was the MP, pushed this legislation through Parliament. Of course, before there had always been these kind of lines. It wasn't anything particularly new. They just made it a legal requirement. I have the sad duty to tell you that he was born here, but that's pretty much he left here when like three days old. And he has no more further connection with the city. So I don't want to pop that balloon, but there you go. Mark Driscoll has an interesting comment. He says that men and women are different in that women are able to multitask. And I certainly know that with my wife. She can do about eight different things at a time. But men, he says, are like big trucks. Men are like big trucks. Men function better when they are fully laden. A truck functions better when it is fully laden. And men are like that. They function better when they're carrying a heavy load. And Jesus says it's possible to be carrying a burden which can either invigorate you or crush you. To be carrying a load which either thrills you and fulfills you and energizes you or wears you out. And he uses the phrase heavy laden here in this passage, which is the Greek word for an overburdened boat, for tizo, to show what that's like. But the point he makes is that the issue is not the burden. The issue is not necessarily the burden. It is your personal capacity to carry that weight, which is the issue. Your response to the task, and also the nature of the task in itself, can either weary you or energize you. It can make you heavy laden or in balance. And he isn't talking here about our physical frame. He's not talking about our body. He's using the word psyche, but he's talking about our souls. And he says, you're carrying a burden, some of you, and the burden is destroying you. And the reason is, A, it's the wrong kind of burden, or B, because your inner person is responding to the burden in a way which is wearing you out. Jesus says people are weary. They're like a ship, burdened down, lying deep in the water, carrying carrying a weight which is more than their soul can take. Beyond their physical, psychological and spiritual capacity to bear. And that might very well describe you this morning. Yes, we're back from a holiday, a time that you would expect to be refreshed. And you know, even after a 10-day break, though, it's possible to sit here and to be weary, heavy laden, carrying a burden that it seems impossible. And on your mat, you put on a mask when you see people. The mask says everything's okay. But at repose, your face is demonstrating that it's actually inside you screaming for help. You're suffocating for some kind of solution. I wonder how deep you are lying in the water this morning. I wonder how deep you're lying in the water this morning. Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I will give you rest. Now, the word rest needs unpacking. When we think of the word rest, we think of lying on the sofa watching TV or relinquishing responsibilities. But the word rest does not mean couch potato rest. It's not a pleasure or entertainment kind of rest. It's not vegging out on the sofa, befuddling ourselves with food and drink and entertainment. That kind of rest does not provide rest for the soul. It doesn't rest the inner person. It might rest the body, but it doesn't rest who you are in the center of your being. And in fact, it creates another set of dependencies, which are another burden that you need to bear. I don't know about you, but I'm still hooked on chocolate after Christmas. I kind of need a bit of chocolate every day. I don't know why, because I don't usually eat it very much. Well, okay, well, that's a lie right there. But I just, you know, you come out of Christmas and you're kind of hooked on this stuff, aren't you? You're hooked on all of this fine food and lying around. But that's not rest. The rest that he talks about is anapausis. It's recreation, from which we get the word recreation. And he says, I will give you a rest which will not befuddle you and make you dopey, but it will recreate your inner person with supernatural energy and joy and passion, and enable you not only to run, but to carry burdens and to move forward in victory into situations. I'd like to spend more time talking about this, but I don't have time. On the blog, I've put a little article by Neil Todman, which explains this much better than I ever could. So if you'd like to go into the blog, you can find that and explore that a little bit. Now, how does he give us this rest? Well, the rest is not nothingness. His solution is not nothingness. It's not a holiday in Barbados. He says two things. The first thing he says, take your yoke off and put my yoke on. He says, take on a burden. Take on my yoke. What is a yoke? Well, a yoke is a kind of wooden frame, isn't it, that holds two oxen together so they can pull a plow. And he says, I'm going to put my yoke on you. And I'm not going to abandon you to a lifetime of achieving nothing. I'm not going to abandon you to the emptiness of just living for pleasure. I'm not going to abandon you to all the things that other people are chasing after. But I have a plan for your life. And you come to me and you find rest in your soul. And as you find rest in your soul, I will give you another purpose. And that purpose will invigorate you. That purpose will transform you. That purpose will fill your life and move you forward with an authentic joy, an authentic refreshment. You become somebody who works together with Jesus as you love him. And you start to be involved in a process where his glory is breaking into the world, crashing into this mundane existence. And you experience his glory the way that Moses did, whose face shone so brightly had to be covered. And the yoke, the burden, it changes you. And you experience this overwhelming power inside your soul, which gives you the strength and the ability to carry a burden that you never thought possible. How does that happen? Well, the second thing, he says, learn from me. Jesus says, learn from me. Doesn't mean acquire more knowledge. Doesn't mean understand more facts. It means know me in a fuller way. He's proposing a deepening of our relationship with him today. He's saying, you don't need new facts. You don't need more information. You need a deeper, more profound appreciation, a realization of things that you now understand on a superficial level. We have an incredible capacity to tell ourselves that we understand things and to think we understand things. And the fact of it is that the truth of our appreciation and our awareness of many things is incredibly superficial, and never more than in the Christian life. If you've been a Christian a long time, you look back over your life, and you look back 5 years and 10 years, what you will tell yourself is, I understood it all very superficially then. I see it all much deeper now. And if you were to go forward 5 years from now and look back at yourself today, you will say in 5 years' time, I understood it so superficially then. I get it much deeper now. If you're sitting here this morning, weary and heavy laden, let me assure you, you do not know Jesus well enough. You do not know Jesus well enough. You need to know him in a deeper way. The weariness, the heaviness, is a sign we do not know him deeply enough. Because his burden is easy and it's light. Why is that? Well, he says, because I'm meek and lowly. He says, I'm gentle and humble in heart. The word gentle there, it means meekness, it means strength under control. An inner peace, an inner calmness. Lowly is the opposite of overbearing. Someone who sets aside their own needs and their own desires to encourage somebody else and to bring them on and to strengthen them lovingly and kindly and gently. And he says, I want you to meet me because I am gentle and humble in heart. And in your encounter with me, you will understand me great in a greater way, and you will be refreshed in your psyche. You will be refreshed in your soul, and you will find inner tranquility and a pause. And this is the plan for this church for this year. Our plan is not to do more, but our plan is to meet Jesus. And our plan is to know him and to not take on yokes, which we shouldn't be taking on, but to take on the yokes that he gives us. And so that the people of the city might see his glory and that we might know him deeper and that his name might be praised. Now, when Jesus came and said this to his original hearers, when they heard the word yoke, they understood what yoke was. A yoke was what the Jews called the law of the Jews, the Hebrew law. And it was like the law was like a yoke, because it bound them together, and it connected them to the God. But there was pretty heavy as well. There was a pretty heavy burden. And Acts and Galatians and other parts of the New Testament refer to the law as a yoke. And what Jesus was saying to his original hearers was, he says, you're trying to please God and get credit by keeping thousands of rules. And that's an enormous burden. It's an enormous burden that you're carrying. Firstly, because no amount of rule keeping can ever clean up the contamination in the human heart. No matter how well you keep the rules, you will never be able to change who you are in the center of your being. No amount of obedience can ever outweigh our fundamental hostility towards God. No matter how many rules you keep, within your heart there is still a hostility towards God and an arrogance. Not only that, but keeping rules feeds arrogance. Keeping a legalistic set of behavior patterns makes you feel good about yourself. And it makes you feel arrogant. It makes you look down on others. And yet you're burdened down with something that's not achieving anything. And to those people, Jesus came as the perfect man. He never broke any of the law. He always loved God perfectly and loved others perfectly. In him, there was no hint of selfishness or arrogance or pride. You know, he was meek and lowly, gentle and humble in heart. And for them, and for us, he bore that punishment that we deserve for a life of hostility towards God. And he bore as a yoke. He took on the yoke of God's anger, even his physical frame on the cross. He hung there as if he was carrying a yoke of God's anger. He had fulfilled the law, and now he took the anger of God for those of us who could never fulfill the law. And when he rose again in the power of his Holy Spirit, he's made it possible for us to have his Spirit come and live inside of our soul, our psyche, our inner person. So he puts his Spirit on us, we become this person who's no longer a God-hating person, but somebody who's different. Somebody who loves what he loves, who delights to give themselves to whatever he has, whose joy is knowing him, whose security is understanding that their citizenship is in heaven. Have you become that person? Not have you said a prayer sometime or done some Christian activity or been to church every Sunday, but have you become that person? Are you in the center of your being, somebody who is responding to God saying, I just love you. I want to serve you. Or is all of this a yoke for you? Is all of this a burden you're carrying that you wish you could slip out from underneath of, and hopefully one day you'll be able to slip out from underneath of? So often we talk about reading the Bible and praying. And when I talk to people about it, I try to share, you know, my experience of it. But when they respond back to me, I get the impression that for them, this is a burden. And what I'm saying is read the Bible and pray. And they're saying, okay, that's another thing I have to tick off and do. Is that your experience of the Lord Jesus Christ? That is all, you're carrying this burden of rules. If it is, you do not know Jesus well enough. You do not know him well enough. If it's all just a yoke for you, you have not understood. And you are not there. And you need to get there. You need him to touch your life. You need to transform him to transform you. Because the message is the same for us. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart. And you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I am convinced that we are carrying a burden this morning. I'm convinced that every person in this room is carrying a burden, including myself. And maybe our burden isn't like their burden. Maybe we're not hung up on a bunch of legalistic set of rules, but we're carrying another kind of burden. And what drove them to keep this law, the same attitudes and the same motivation, is here in spades. It's here amongst us now. For some of us, it's a judgmental attitude. And we don't have this external legalistic set of rules, but we have worked out what we're good at. We've worked out at where we're strong. And we evaluate everybody else on the basis of how good they are in the areas where we are strong. So when we meet people and we're talking with them, instantly in our minds, an evaluation rises up. Some kind of judgment rises up. And while we're even communicating with that person, we are passing judgment on them. Conservative evangelical Christianity is a very comfortable home for people who like passing judgment on other people. It's a very comfortable home for people who like passing judgment on other people. Making ourselves feel good by trashing everybody else. Sanctimonious, pious attitudes. Is that you? Are you carrying anger with you wherever you go? Are you carrying anger with you wherever you go? Come to Jesus. Lay down your burden of your legalistic system. Learn humility. Learn meekness from Him. Understand that He died for you, and He died for those that you interact with. Understand how much you need to be saved by Him. And learn from Him the love that He has for the people that you meet. Learn to accept them and delight in them. And enjoy what God is doing in their lives. For others of us, we have a longing for approval, which is slightly different. We're not like the Jewish people. We're not looking for approval and piety, but we're longing for and hungering for a different kind of approval, a kind of grade, a kind of evaluation. And we're desperate, aren't we, for people to give us a thumbs up. I got to say, I'm an avid poster of Facebook. I got to say, what can I say? And over Christmas, when I have a little bit more time, I'm there all the time. It's terrible. And when you post something, you're even looking for the thumbs up, aren't you? You're looking for someone to click a thumbs up and say, oh, I like what you said. And it's a feature of so many of our hearts, isn't it? To look for the approval from other people. To try to present ourselves in the best possible light. And it becomes a massive burden. It drives people to achieve academically. It drives them to work hours to get academic qualifications. It determines where we choose to live our lives. It sets the tone for what we do in our spare time. It can lead to destructive relationships and friendships, and it can actually make it harder for us to have healthy social relationships. Is that you? This morning, are you aware of this passion, desire for the approval of other people? That your friends at school, or your friends at work, or your spouse, or your boyfriend or girlfriend, or people you want to be your boyfriend or girlfriend, that they will somehow approve of you. And it is driving you forward with a burden you cannot begin to bear. And yet you can't stop. Jesus says, come to me. Come to me. Lay down that burden for approval and dive into the fact that you are at the same time a miserable failure and at the same time loved by God beyond comprehension. Understand the fact that we are all horrible, miserable failures, worse than we can possibly ever imagine, and yet loved more than we can possibly ever describe. Dive into the truth of that. Understand what it means that God loves you and that He accepts you, that Jesus died for you. And that your value does not lie in your job, or how attractive you are, or how thin you are, or how wealthy you are. All of that is a waste of time. It's passing away. Have you put your trust in Jesus? Have you made your home with Him? Does His love for you define you? For others of us, it's a burden of pleasure. And you might not be concerned about keeping rules or even the opinion of others, but you're feeding a hunger for pleasure. Our society has undergone a massive transformation. 70 years ago, most of us would be struggling to have clothes. Our clothes would have been, darned. Our clothes would have had any holes or patches would have been covered. And we would have had a nice set of clothes, and we would have had a day-to-day set of clothes, and a lot of our money would have gone on just on feeding ourselves and keeping a house warm. But now we're a society where most of us have an awful lot of disposable income to be spent on pleasure, to be spent on entertainment. And we've become a generation of hedonists, pleasure junkies, entertainment junkies, holiday junkies. Well, I've got to have a holiday in Florida, otherwise my life won't be worth living. I'm so tired, I need to crash on the sofa and spend 20 hours watching this box set. Please don't ask me to commit to anything. I'll let you know the day before if something better doesn't come up. And it's manifested in how we relate to the church. The church's core is shrinking, and the church's periphery is getting bigger. As fewer and fewer people say, well, I want to commit to this church, and more people say, I want to come along when it works okay for me. And we're a pleasure-loving society. But what we don't understand is that that is a burden. It is a burden of self-worship, a burden of pleasure-seeking, and it leads to slavery. For many guys, it leads to the slavery of pornography. For many women, it leads to the slavery of materialism. It's a burden we're carrying. Feeding our desires is a massive weight. And it's never what you hoped it would be. It never fills you up. It just leaves you more and more empty. And Jesus says, come to me and lay down that burden. I will give you rest. I'll put a yoke upon you. I will show you how I... Come to him and he will say, listen, this is where you've got to be tomorrow. And this is where you're going to be the next day. And this is the person you're going to speak to. And this is the situation you're going to go into. And he starts opening up vistas for us that are not about pleasure and entertainment, but are much more joyful, much more exciting, much more thrilling. Because we suddenly start living lives where he is actually guiding us step by step. And we follow his experience and his plans for our lives. Some of us are living in the burden of the past. They're living in the burden of the past. Some of us this morning are living in despair or sadness for something that happened years, even decades ago. And you're living under the curse of a past failure. I talk to so many women were abused sexually when they were younger and they were told to keep quiet. So many girls were forced to have abortions. And I see those women 20 years down the line, and those experiences are ruining their lives. And often they feel guilty for a situation where they were a victim. They feel guilty for a situation where they are a victim. And you see them in awful relationships with guys who are just terrible, and you say, what on earth are you doing? And they say, oh, well, he makes me feel whatever. But really what they're saying is, I'm not worth anything more. I don't deserve anything more because I'm dirty. And you can't talk to anybody about it. And you're living with the guilt of the past. Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. Bring me your failure. Bring me your situations that have pierced you and lay them down. And understand what forgiveness is about. And understand the forgiveness that I have for you. Understand the healing I have for you. And understand the forgiveness that I can give you for the people who hurt you. The forgiveness I can put in your heart for the people who hurt you. And you will find rest for your souls. You will find joy and healing in that open wound. Because in the end, he was abandoned. He called out, my God, why have you forsaken me? He went through all of these situations. He was tempted as we are. He was tempted by pleasure and fortune and fame. He was oppressed by a legalistic system that no one could live up to. He never knew sin, but he knew the power of sin in people's lives. And he became sin for us. And in your heart and in our soul and our mind, when we allow his word and his spirit to fill us up, and then when we're hungering for approval, we find our approval in his love for us. And when we're tempted to pass judgment on other people, we remind ourselves of of where how far we he's brought us. And we are filled with his love for them. When we're beguiled by the siren of pleasure, we remind ourselves we no longer belong to that, but we belong to him. And when blighted by the pain of past failure, we come back to the cross and we're reminded that that's buried, dead and buried. And then we take on his purpose for us. Take on his yoke. Paul doesn't say rest the good rest. He says fight the good fight. And we come and say, yeah, I'm ready now to serve you. I'm ready now to move forward with these people in glorifying your name. And that's what we want to be this year. We want to be a church that's moving forward. Not by laying more burdens on people, but by joyfully taking on a yoke which God is giving us, which God is laying before us. I wish I could share with you my joy at seeing God provide for BC3. What a burden that had become. And what a joy it is now to see God leading us forward. And that's what we want as a church. We want to be people moving forward this year, taking on the yoke that he has prepared for us. At the turn of the century, there were such things as one-way missionaries. One-way missionaries would go to outer parts of the world, from the UK and from the United States, and they would go with a coffin and a one-way ticket. And the plan was that they'd be buried in the coffin wherever they never came back. And A.W. Milne was a fellow who went off to the South Seas, the New Hebrides, to a group of islanders in the New Hebrides. And the previous missionaries who'd gone had all been martyred. But he found favor in their sight. And for 35 years, he stayed there and took on that burden with them and served them. Did he go to the South Seas to drink pina coladas and sit on the beach? No. He went to serve. He took on that yoke. And when he died, they buried him in the middle of the village. On a tombstone, they wrote, "When he came, there was no light. When he left, there was no darkness." When he came, there was no light. When he left, there was no darkness. This is the purpose of God for us. To take on that yoke of bringing light. A yoke that will bring rest to our souls and joy to our hearts. And we praise God for it. Amen. Let me pray. Lord God, loving Heavenly Father, we just are so aware that it's easy to trot out words. It's easy to make promises, especially on the first Sunday of the year. And we ask, Lord God, not for another yoke, another burden, but we ask, Father, that you'll lift the yokes that we're carrying and lift the burdens that we're carrying. And that you'll put within us a hunger and passion for you and a joy in knowing you and serving you and glorifying you. Be the center of this ministry, pray, in the coming year and be honored and glorified. And help us to know what it means to know you deeper and to love you more. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.